they're going to come this morning and show us how to set up a nursing home ministry and how to witness to elderly folks. And they'll be with us showing us how to set things up in the morning Sunday school hour. And then the morning worship service, they're going to preach a charge to us and hopefully get us under conviction and give us a burden for these shut-ins and these elderly people. And brother, that's our ministry. Pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widows and to minister to them. And we're not to leave that ministry up to the PTL and TBN and Jimmy Swaggart and Jim and Tammy Baker and whoever else is in there infecting those people. And it's our ministry as a local church to go out and to reach these shut-ins and these people and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. I have an announcement to make this morning about a sign-up sheet in the foyer on our bulletin board. And this is a sign-up sheet for to prepare meals for the Rivera families. You know, Julie Rivera had some surgery last couple weeks, and she's in no condition to be cooking meals. And Brother Rivera, I'm sure they're getting sick and tired of McDonald's and Burger King and Domino's Pizza, so we'll cook some good meals for these folks. And if you want to be a blessing to them and sign up in the back for a meal for one day this week, we'd sure appreciate you ladies pitching in and helping out there. Sunday school teachers this morning, it's your option whether you want your Sunday school class to stay in here and listen to Brother Payne or continue on with your weekly lesson, your weekly series. It's completely up to you. It's no problem to me one way or the other. Whatever you decide to do is fine with me. So if we could now, let's have Brother Payne come this morning and give us what the Lord laid on his heart.
Before they leave, if they don't care, we'll sing a couple of songs. If you don't care, I'll have my family come, and then we'll get right into the work. It's good to be here. Let me introduce myself. There'll probably be others, and we'll reintroduce a little bit later on. I believe I'll be showing my slides during the other service, and so we'll get maybe a little bit more formal introduction. We come from Ringgold, Georgia. That's just right outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And by the way, preacher, this morning, you're not going to believe this. We really traveled this last 2 weeks all the way from Rome, New York. That's just 30 miles east of Syracuse, New York. Guess who manages that motel over there? A man and a woman that are from Syracuse, just east of there between Syracuse and Rome. So I got a good opportunity to, I believe his first name is Ross. And I can't remember the last name or everything, but the people there at the motel, and I got a good opportunity to talk with them there this morning. I just thought that was kind of unique, that we just came from Rome, New York, and that's many hundreds of miles, and meet some folk that were from Rome, New York, or Syracuse. But it's good to be here, and it's a good opportunity for us to just to come here and be with you folk. We had tried to get with you all earlier, but it just wasn't possible. We're here today, and we hope that we can be an encouragement. This is my wife, Judy, on the piano here this June the 2nd. Just coming up, we'll be married 25 years, and as a result of this, we've got this young girl here. Her name is Christy, and this is my son, Jeremy, and I'm Maurice. We have an older daughter at home that attends Tri-County Baptist Temple, and her name is Alyssa, but we are missionaries to a forgotten folk in America, nursing home folk and other elderly related people. But I want to sing a couple of songs. It's kind of a medley, While the Ages Roll. I want you to listen. I hope you enjoy this. Someday the stammering tongue will falter no more, and a grander, sweeter song I shall sing. For join the ransom choir on the heaven's bright shore, forever to praise the King. And while the ages roll, I keep on praising Him, and my voice will never die or go, and my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while ages shall roll. When a million years have passed in that wonderful place, my song of praise will just have begun. For my joy will never end while I look on
of riches, no treasures do I hold, but I have this blessed promise, someday I'm gonna walk on gold. I'll walk a golden street in that beautiful city, in that land where we'll never go. Though here below I may be just a pauper someday, I'm gonna walk on gold. This life, it's almost over, my story's almost told, but I'll meet you up in heaven, where we'll walk on streets of gold.
Appreciate my family coming with me, and that's the way the Lord worked it all out, and so that's the reason why we're all here. Appreciate you staying for that song or songs. If you would, he's already mentioned a verse of scripture that's found in James 1:27. We could get into a dissertation, I guess, on this verse of scripture, but let me just point out this. James 1:27 says, in essence, that God cannot find anything wrong with, or will never find anything wrong with, because it's pure and undefiled. Therefore, taking care of the fatherless and widows, and I believe with all my heart, and I'm not going to go into any great, I'm sure that you probably have already grounded in this, but I just want to reiterate upon another area. But the local church, the local church is where this ministry really needs to come from. It's got to be based of the local church. It's really an obligation. And some would stop at the fact that, let me just explain this. Some would stop at the fact that, it's the church's duty, as long as it may be, say, an elderly person or an invalid or something. There's not just old folk in nursing homes. We've probably met some of the youngest. Two that I've gotten vivid in my mind right now are several years ago we were in Gainesville, Georgia, and met two of the youngest boys that I'd ever met before in the nursing home. I don't know that we've met any younger than that, but those two are vivid in my mind because they were in the service with us, and neither one of them could comprehend as far as we know. I really believe God just opened up their ears that day, but one of them was 12 and one of them was 14. The 12-year-old, I think, had been run over by his mama in a car. She rolled over him in the back wheel of a car if she didn't do it intentionally. But just to point out how hopeless or how unloved these people are now that he's 12, well, he's probably about 15 or 16 now. For a few years, she visited her own son, a little infant. But now she hardly ever darkens the door to visit him. And that's the case of most of the people in these nursing homes. And therefore, I declare unto you, this causes this to be a tremendous open door. In other words, it's just almost automatically. We have never been refused entrance into a nursing home. We have probably over 1,000 nursing homes across America that have been open to us. We have already established nursing home ministries in the city of Los Angeles, or in Tujunga particularly. And then we've been in some others up in Salt Lake. We had one in Montpelier, Idaho, a Mormon nursing home. We've had some Mormons. We've seen some Mormons saved, and some of our people that we've gotten introduced to the nursing home. But this is a ministry of the local church, and it does mean and is talking about basically about the fathers and widows that nourish that maybe within the confines of the church, but because of the open door and because of, let's connect this verse of scripture up with Isaiah 45:22. Let's do this. Now you say, well, preacher, you're taking this out of context. Well, what's the work? What's the duty of the Christian? I mean, what is his purpose in life? I mean, after he gets saved, I believe the ultimate purpose is getting out the gospel. Well, first of all, you've got to get saved. You've got to get grounded in the Word. But then, what should you do with that? I believe with all my heart, and I'm not going to go into no dissertation. If you don't agree with me, well, you can meet me out in the parking lot and you can whip me all you want to. But this is what I believe. I believe a man needs to get saved. I believe a man, woman, boy, or girl needs to get saved. That's the most important. I better hush up because I'm not going to teach or nothing. I'm going to preach in a minute. But the most important thing that anybody, we just come out of a Navajo Indian reservation. Oh my God. The need that we have in America for, we that have the message of God to get it out. Get it out. I mean, there's so many opportunities. I was thinking this morning as I got up and prayed, I thought, you know, I said, well, sometimes we go by the church and we'll hear the missionary come and we'll hear his burden and we'll be broken and we'll be tearful and so forth and we'll put in our monies. But my feet, what we need to do is put our hearts and our minds into going out and taking advantage of every opportunity that we have might avail. But let me just quit. I'm on James chapter 1 verse 27 coupled up with Isaiah 45:22. Here's what God says over in the middle of the Bible, and not right in the middle, but basically in the middle of the Bible, in the Old Testament. And until I got involved in this ministry, and this really never did. And I said, look at here, God is saying to the whole world, He's saying to you and I that have been saved, He says, look unto me and be ye saved. You see, most important thing that a man needs to know this side of eternity is that Christ Jesus is his Savior. But that not only does he say that, but he says, to whom all the ends... Well, you say, well, get that in John 3:16. But somehow now this just coming out of the Old Testament just sticks in my craw and has stuck in my craw since I got a hold of this verse more, even more so than John 3:16. All the ends of the earth. And then he just simply says, why? For I am God. For I am God, and there is none else. You see the importance, you see the greatness of the need of the hour. I've written on the board here, I'm not a very good writer, I probably misspell some stuff, but let me just point out three things. This has to do with nursing home ministries. I have a nursing home guy here in our materials, but a couple of these two verses of Scripture, which I've already read in your presence. And so what I want to try to do is just touch your life with them. Back to the nursing home, the facilities, and so forth, and then the nursing home patient, those that are in the facilities, and two particular areas, the condition of the patient. This basically has to do with the physical, and let me just, this right here, this should never, never stop. Right now, and I'll show you why in just a few minutes. But first of all, as I list out here in this nursing home, God, by the way, the Lord gave me this here several years ago, but I put this in a nursing home guide. And they may be old, but they too have a soul. And I used to show my slides and had a picture of an 80-some-odd-year-old lady and a little baby. And I'd ask the question, how long is each one of these people going to spend eternity? How long are they going to spend the time in eternity? And the fact is that they're going to spend the same amount of time, no matter what their age is. Now, I know that when a man or a woman gets older, the older they get, possibilities of them being saved. It just keeps on dwindling down. I mean, it just that's statistics, okay? But it's not God. I mean, God will save anybody. God will save anybody, and they're going to spend an eternity somewhere. But we just need to get the gospel. It just so happens that because of the nursing home facility, because of the condition or because of the situation, the circumstances that these patients and these people can get in this age group. I met a man the other day that he'd been visited and been worked with for quite some time. I think I told the pastor about it. He'd never been into church. He's supposedly a Catholic. He's closely in as far as living is concerned as this missionary, this preacher that's out of our church. And he just told me, he said, "I don't believe this guy will ever go to church. He's promised me." But the other night, Thursday night, this man came and was in the service. It just so happened that God just let me preach just an old-fashioned get-saved message. And that man heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he's thought he'd never get in there. And he's kind of in his elder age. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about the nursing home itself, the facilities. In our slides, you'll see at least two facilities as far as the outside appearance and everything. I could not begin to tell you the different descriptions and so forth of all these facilities, but they're basically the same thing. I mean, they are people within this facility that, as far as staff and workers and so forth, just like everyone, I mean, it doesn't really matter whether it's Spanish or whatever. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. American, whatever, we have nursing homes that are basically black. We have nursing homes of all descriptions. We didn't get into any really mixed nursing homes as far as people was concerned until we really came out to California. But as far as the staff, it's basically the same thing. There are, and I've had a report this morning, there are a few Christians that are operating these things. Matter of fact, I can remember going into Columbus, Mississippi several years ago. It's not a privilege. Sometimes when we just go into for a revival meeting, I was permitted to go and visit them while we were there. God was a church, belonged to the Church of God, but he owned it. And as far as talking with him, you know, there are people that, you know, they believe in the second blessing or feeling the Holy Spirit, whatever, you know, and losing salvation, but as far as I can tell, this God was really saved, and boy, he really cared for his people. But it was in a, you know, real down sad place and everything. He had black and whites and so forth. And it seemed like there was a real good spirit. And he let us visit there. And during the visit, one of the men got saved back in his room, and then he ended up getting to preach. And I never have forgotten the Presbyterian lady who sat there and holding out like this, and so kind of, she had this type of dream. And she's about 80-some-odd years old. Well, this was such, but it was a blessing to see that old man get saved. But the blessing was from that, when we got through that service, that little Presbyterian lady, she said, "You know, back when I was a little girl," she said, "I remember being in this service. Like this. I remember that it was real. I remember the fire that burned out of my soul." She said, "I'm not emotional." And you know, like you are, her friend. She said, I know what you got is real. And boy, you know, there's some folk like that. But for the most part, the people, as far as the people, it's not that way. But the staff is basically the same. There are some Christians that are working in their own lives, you know, Christians. But for the most part, like the patients, there are people that are lost. They're just a job. And that's number one thing that I would maybe point out is that the people that are really working there as a whole, it's a job. The facility, the owners, and so forth, the corporations, I feel like, really, I mean, maybe some of them had some good intentions when they got started. But I'm just telling you from Boston, Massachusetts to San Pedro, up into Montpelier, Idaho, and down into Malacca, Florida, and down into Monterey, Mexico. They only have one nursing home in Monterey. That'll tell you something. Nearly 5 million people, and they only got one nursing home that I know of in Monterey, Mexico. And what they do, they take care of their own folks. They keep them there in their homes. But we're so busy, we've got to work so many jobs. And I know there's conditions where, you know, that we cannot really, I mean, we don't have a facility. We really can't take care of it. For the most part, most of these folks that we have in our nation, homes in America, don't even need to be there. But I'm getting off and getting out of this section. But the nursing home, the staff, they're very important. It's very important that you know a little bit about them. But the basic truth that I found is that most of these people, it's a business. It's a growing business. I mean, there's nursing homes. I could not tell you. I know a man that owns, within his family owns, I believe it is, 27 nursing homes in North Carolina. His family of about 7 brothers and sisters own and operate. Now, this man is a Christian and everything, and yet they still do not really instill Christian ideas in all their works, their employees and so forth. So we know some Christians that operate, but for the most part, people are just really in a business. And it would pay us to take in consideration of what these people are, who they are, and where they come from. But the most thing that I feel like we need to be concerned about, is if we're working with them, is that we need to submit basically to whatever demands that they put on us, whatever liberties they have on. In other words, be kind to them, be nice, be considerate. I've walked into places I've had to reconstruct or get the people back into the nursing home where the younger preachers in the church have went out and took the King James Bible and just beat them over the head with it. And these people basically are in, seemingly have told me they're living in hell already. I have had several of them just, you know, hey, preacher, I'm already in hell. I mean, that's the condition that these people are. And it disturbs, and I'm talking a lot about the patient, but I'm bringing you to the fact that these people that take care of them, even though some of them are not Christian, don't like for you to come in there and just, you know, really, I mean, spook these people. I mean, just scare them to death. And you got to preach the gospel. Hell is real, but there's heaven too. I mean, you can tell a man that if he died in the condition, that's what God told me on November the 7th, 1965. God looked me right square eyeball to eyeball. If that's possible, it's just to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the power of the preaching of the Word. And God just looked me in the face that morning on Sunday morning and said, son, if you died in the condition that you're in right now. And you know what? God's Holy Spirit can tell a little child like that. He's the one that happened a little child really believe. The same Holy Spirit can convict and convey and show light upon the sins of the world. He can do it in a real child's heart just as well as he can a grown up person. And so with that light, enlightenment, I'm just going to say, son, you died as a condition of the child, as a Sunday school teacher. I've been in that particular church as a Sunday school teacher for 6 years. But you never had a personal experience with Christ Jesus. On that day, God reminded me that I died in that condition and I was going to hell. That's negative. But you know what? Just like God wants us to do when we present the gospel. I mean, sometimes I know a man who had just dangling out over hell seemed like for a good little period of time, but for the most part, just like God did with me that morning, just as quick as he said, almost at the same instant, and only God can do this, God was preparing me, I die and I go to hell, but that's not my will, that we should perish. God says, whosoever believes, you shall be saved. In other words, that's perish. It's that clear. And so we need to approach these people in the same manner, and we need to treat the nursing home people, the facilities, the staff, and so forth, with compassion and hearts also. I've literally seen young men get up and preach, and nurses walk in the room like that. And I'm just tired of their words. Right? But that's not a way. You've got to know what to do with that worship. And the facilities. We need to stay within the guidelines. Maybe we should give you an instance of where I am, that God has shown me. For 6 weeks, I didn't get in the room because these people are so deserving, so unloved, and especially the shut-ins wouldn't have nothing to do with God. Basically, all the shut-ins, the ones that cannot get out of their beds and so forth, don't have very many people. They don't come and show up and visit you. So they're the most desperate. And let me just put this in. You go into a facility and you want to do some visiting from room to room, and that's what we do. We don't really actually go. We do a lot of services. There's a lot of nursing churches, a lot of nursing homes. But where the greatest need is for this one-on-one, ladies, men, and so forth, and men and women, going a husband and wife, and maybe there's a little boy or a girl going into that nursing home facility. Just go by to tell them. Well, 6 weeks, all I could tell them, people, went to the door and said, hi. Just one time I say hi, and he said, well, I didn't get the gospel. 12 years later, we've seen over 1,000 folks saved. But in the very beginning, I thought, well, my dad, he wouldn't let me tell 10 miles of Texas. That killed a lot of folks.
But it's not important to them. That is important that they get saved. They have been so unlearned, and they're so uncared for. They were one of them kids. This boy was 5 years old, and only put kids in the school, kindergarten and so forth. We didn't put him in there because of some of the experience that we've had about boys going up to school early. So we kept him home. She said, "Thank you for the nursing home." God used that little boy 5 years of age to get pictures to the people that hearts were so close, so unloving, cared for. They were about to, dressed up and suited, you know. That didn't matter to them. It's whether or not somebody really cared. They were looking for somebody really cared. They just had to blame it. And that little boy, you know, they just really left. Man, ain't nothing wrong with that. Come here, little boy. And guess where daddy was? Daddy was right in the home. And that opened the door. God opened that door. And I didn't know how in the world to be in those people. But I took it, man, I was taking it in my home. Man, and tried to have the same type of just a childlike faith and trust and compassion that a little child has for an old person and go into that facility and treated the staff and so forth the same way. Just as kind of me, if they'd said anything unkind to me, I'd say, "Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am." One guy just almost was just ready to, really, in the fit of anger and so forth, he would have killed my little boy when we began that nursing home. And God used that to show those people that I was real and that God was going to take care of me. I was trusting God. And they even came to me and told me, said, "You're the first real Christian we've ever seen around," and held out their hands. Some of them reached their arms around me and said, "Is anything that you need, ever need in this nursing home, says you just come and we'll do it. We'll take care of it. We won't let nothing ever happen to you and your family." And so we need to be kind to these people. We need to be compassionate. The Lord, every time occasion I see him going to the multitudes of people, the first thing it nearly says is that he was compassionate. He set them down and he fed them, and then he gave them the gospel. And a lot of times, and I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism, but it all works hand in hand. People are watching us. Sometimes we're the only Bible. There's a song, I believe it's written, says, "We're the only Bible that some folk ever read or ever will ever hear." And so it's very important of how that we react to this nursing home. Every facility is different, but the basic facts is that most of them are in business for the money. However, there are some that really care. I've met some Christian ladies and men that work in those facilities. They just weep when their people die. And they weep when they're sick and so they weep and they worry and they go to the hospital and visit and they live in their rooms. But basically, it's a money-making proposition. And there's hundreds of them across the world. But they're filled with, listen, write this down, they're filled with over 2 million people in those nursing homes today. And there's over 71 million other ones out there from 50 years of age in America. That's included there. 50 to 71 million Americans today. Somebody asked me, "Do you mean there's more elderly people over age 50 in America than there are in my border country, Canada?" I said, "Yes, the last year that I had on there was about 37 million. In our country alone, there are over 71 million Americans over age 50. They said the year 2000 that the people over 75 and above would be tremendously more than those at that age and above than there will be teenagers in our country. Now this basically is a baby boom age and so forth, and this is the result of this. But I believe the real reason for all this multitude of people is that I found with 85-year-olds and older, 85 years of age and older, 12 years of our work. I mean, this is a result, a direct result of the promise that God gave, like over the Old Testament. Those folk, even though their parents, it's dead. They hold their parents at heart. They respect them, they were obedient. And Bob says that the child will obey his parents. He said, the first commandment of the promise is law. That they've been in the long line. I really believe that's the reason why we have a multitude of elderly people. You say it's because of medical, knowledge and all this team follows because of it. You've got good medical facilities and so forth, but basically it's a money-making proposition. There's multitudes of people having to go there. They say that by the year 2000, that one out of, you're sitting here this morning, you're 50 years of age or older,
So the year 2000 is one out of every five of you. There's 570 here this morning. I'm one. I'll be 54 to 28 this month. They say, I've already spent time in a nursing home. They'll say one out of every five people in America today at Solar Age 50 will spend some time in a nursing home by the year 2000. That is a tremendous open door. And it always seems that when these people come to this condition that they're in, the situation that they're in, they know it's 800 men. Hey, look, this is real. My own mom and dad, my dad spent, my mom spent 3.5 years, my dad spent 3.5 years visiting her in the nursing home. She died in the nursing home. And up to the day that I remember that she really likes, you know, to really communicate with me, it just never gets really seen to sink in. It's a reality. You know, people do die, and some people do end up in nursing homes. And when they really come to that conclusion that, hey, this is a reality, and they really get concerned about, like John down in Crosby, Texas, his cat, he really got concerned with him. That he's lost, and he's going home without a chance. But they just don't seem to ever get them. So this is a real problem. This is a real concern that we need to know about this stuff. We need to be consistent in our attitudes toward them. I mean, there's some things that you think, you know, well, you can preach if you'll preach out of the NIV or something, then you'll have to disagree with me. This King James Bible is the Word of God. It's got the work done in the past, it's doing it now, and it will continue to do the work. And so there's some things that we can't deviate from. But you know, we got so far away from being compassionate and loving that we really are cruel. We're really rude to people. And then the condition. The condition, the patient's condition, cancerous, whatever, a naked woman in a nursing home should never keep us sharing the gospel of the Lord. And if God's opened the door and you're there and it's available to you, and especially if you've told that person you'll be back that next day, I don't care if you walk in the room and she's 90 years old and she's somehow or another she's not able, well, she's most of them not able to take care of herself, they're bedridden, and so they ain't gonna tell what kind of condition you might find them. And one day I walked into one of those situations, I turned around and walked at it. You know, even though she was 90 years old, I didn't know still. You know, kind of, you know, I don't know how to look at you, what do you say? It's just, you know, it bothers you. And so I turned to get out of it, and I was going to go get one of the nurses. But I had promised that woman that I'd be there on that day, at that particular time. And God said, somebody got to just take the sheet and cover up. But it embarrassed me in her book, even though she was 90 years of age. People still have feelings. And everything, I mean, it don't make no difference what age it is. The main thing is that they need to hear about Christ, they need to see somebody that's real. And willing to do that which they said they would. I just walked back in there and kind of shut my eyes and covered it up and it embarrassed me and stood there embarrassed for just, I stood there and she laid there embarrassed for just a few seconds. And then she looked up at me and tears began to stream down her face. She said, I'm so glad that you were willing to do that. That just tells me that your heart is right. You're just willing. You see, that's what our problem. We say, but yet we do not live. We say that we love God, but our actions do not show it. Because, you know, God loves people. I know he hates the acts. I mean, this is hard for me to comprehend, especially when I was in Marion, North Carolina. People to ask, well, how many people approached you? How many homosexuals did you see in San Francisco last year? I said, I've only been approached by one. I've only had one that fell off on the windshield of my van in North Carolina. So I said, don't tell me about, you know, the wickedness of man. It's everywhere. God hates sin. And God's going to laugh at the calamity of sin one of these days. But he loves men and women in the whole world. That's good. I'm sorry. That's what picture. But he's shown me so much as after all. He's shown me most of all my condition and habit. And I've not been bent, and I've not been broken. In my heart, like I ought to. So lost. One of the worst conditions that I ever saw a man in. It hindered me from sharing the real need that he had, the gospel. And I said, didn't speak for quite some time after that. One or 2.5 years was up in that particular nursing home. I sat in that man's room and heard him saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord, how I love you." Simply because she was looking at me and said, "I love you." Two nurses walked in right after it and saw the expression. They said that they'd never seen a smile in 6 years. He had one nephew. This guy was in Dunlap, Tennessee, 35 miles northeast or northwest of Chattanooga. Nearest kinfolk we had in Houston. Boy, that's the best. I mean, that's my love. That's the only territory. But God let me. It's not my problem that he don't have no food. My problem is getting to them. If it's late, it ain't my problem to get to them with the gospel. Let me get to this other thing. To need the patient, the gospel, is more important than any condition. No matter what we go through so many experiences that we've gone through. The local church involvement. I'll simply say this, and I'm going to close to try to get through here before Chip or any questions, maybe some answers. I'm looking for answers too. But local church involvement. Let me just simply say this, that 6 years, we're in our 6 year as missionaries.
We already had some nursing homes opened up to us before we started. We have six. That we continue to try to minister to as far as a family out of the local church each month. But all the nursing homes all of the nursing homes we have God used us as instruments to get local churches involved. And that's what our main ministry is. But when we started out 6 years ago, when I met Brother Homer and came to Word for the World Baptist Ministries and Tri-County Baptist Temple there in Fort Oglethorpe, I just thought that I knew God had His hand on us and had it on me and was using our family like a church family, going in there, doing some singing, doing some congregation, and then doing some preaching. That's basically what you do. And just a few months out on deputation, I realized about three things. I realized, first of all, that nobody was interested in the fact that we were going to be working in nursing homes. Then it being a home mission, and we've really let home missions, the Navajo reservations are open, the young folk, the young children there, actually coming to this preacher we were with the other day and asking him, "Can you tell me how I can be saved?" I don't know how many cases that he told me about just in recent weeks. I said, "I know why God sent me by this way." He didn't really know how. This guy don't really talk real good, I guess, up in front of people about his burden and so forth. So I got on the phone and I began to weep and I began to help Brother Homer. I said, "Oh God," I said, it's more than I could have ever imagined. I couldn't believe that this was like this, but it was just like my ministry. The open door and the people that were just laying there just waiting for somebody to come by to tell them. And so I thought we'd do this type of ministry. And we just go in and to as many open doors as we could through the local churches across America and try to reach these people for Christ. And after we were on the road a few months, there were over 200 nursing homes open to us, and I couldn't believe it. And I didn't feel like that. And I said, there's no way that we can take care of this, Lord. And so the Lord said, "Well, now I got your attention, got you involved, got your heart." He said, "Now what I want you to do is I want you to go across America. I want you to continue to do this, but I'm going to try to get you to couple up as many, let the people know about this, or make them aware of the open door, and just punch it all across America that this is a local church ministry and that you'll do anything. You'll come and stay 2 or 3 days or a week at a time, and just whatever it takes to get those people involved or show them how, show them some of the things." I put in this little manual the experiences or some of the basic facts. And the main reason it's not any bigger than it is because of the fact sometimes we depend so much upon our finances, our abilities to do things, when God just wants us and He'll take us if we'll go, and He'll show us in every situation. There's not been a situation yet that I went into. There's been many of them that I didn't know what to do, didn't know what to say. But when I went, when I made myself available, when I was in the place that God could use me, God always gave me a special, just a special illustration, a special portion of Word of God to a special individual, a unique person. We're everyone different and got different thoughts and different things needful in our lives and so forth. And so we just go and let God lead and direct us. But the local church is where it's got to come from. We need to be involved more than we are. Not just in the, there's prison ministries, there's all types of outreaches, but we've let our guard down, we've let our ministries down as far as home missions. It's a lot easier, really. It's a lot easier to give to foreign missions. It's a lot easier to be involved in the way that we can there because we don't really have to go. But it's a little harder to do a ministry, and therefore it's fallen by the wayside here in America. I've already run over my time. Does anybody have any comments or questions that they'd like? Yes, preacher. Well, I never have had to do that. Excuse me. Usually every time I go into a situation or need to know something in a situation, usually somebody right out of the church knows exactly where one's at. And then the other thing, I see them on the road. I don't have time, but man, I see them everywhere I go, and when I see one, I want to go into it. Honest to goodness, and I have to discipline myself. I have to govern myself because we just cannot go into all of them. That's the reason why the Lord is using us into coupling up we can reach a greater number of people. And two, we've never raised up all of our support. We're not out on deputation, but we've never raised up all of our support. Therefore, we cannot work outside of the local church. In other words, us being in meetings like this on Sunday with you folk, over nearly 3,000 miles away from home, that enables us to share that burden, that enables us to, you know, to help get involved, and we can reach more nursing homes and more people that way. And yet, at the same time, we can continue also in a ministry as our family out of the local church. But I could not tell you today how many nursing homes or churches that we've been involved. But basically what I do, if I know that there's a nursing home, I try to pray that God would, you know, enlighten me about, you know, a particular facility. And then I approach that facility by going simply to the activities director, not the administrator. We have on occasions met the administrator right off the bat, and sometimes you have to meet him, but most of the time, all you got to do, because the activities director is responsible to the administrator and that whole unit to take care of the activities, in order to see that those people are involved in physical exercise, church, crafts, or the whole thing. And most of the time, she cannot find enough of people to come in and help her. And so she's really got the responsibility of bringing outside volunteer help in there to help her do her work, really is what it amounts to. So I go to her and I ask her, first of all, I don't even mention about where I'm from or anything. I just go in there and say, "Lady," I said, "I'd like to, if it's possible, to have a list of your shut-ins." And she said, "Well, why are you?" I said, "Well, do they have, the ones that don't have money, kinfolk and few visits?" I said, "I'd just like to come by their door and just say hi to them." On nearly every occasion, that lady, they've always, man or woman, most of the time it's a lady, they've always had a list already prepared. And all she had to do was give it to me or Xerox it and give it to me and ask me when. When could I start? Most of the churches that I've went in that very way, and they've actually cried. I had a woman in Ohio. There was a little independent Baptist church there, and there was, I think, 10 nursing homes within 6-mile radius of that little old bitty independent Bible-believing church. And I took the preacher in there. He just, I want to see what you do. And surprising to him, the woman began to weep, and she confessed she wasn't even a Christian. She said, "I'm not a Christian, and I'm not interested in it," but she said, "I'd be interested in you coming in there and doing this. When could you get started?" Matter of fact, the first words out of her mouth, she began to weep, and she said, unsaved woman, she said, "I've been praying that God would send somebody by this place." She had shut down all the churches that had been coming in there, because she'd come in on Monday, and she had to straighten, because one church would come in, one denomination would come in on that Sunday. The next Sunday, there'd be another nomination. And you know what the patients told me? They told me, and they've told me this everywhere I went. She said, "Hey, we're down here Monday through Friday, and that's where we've seen most of our folks say. That's where we've seen the most growth in our church being involved in there. That's where we've seen the most growth in where we hold at least five nursing home revivals every year in the 6 nursing homes. We're not allowed to hold or preach in one of the nursing homes that we do, but I bootleg preaching between songs, and I get it in. There's a way to get the gospel out, but I'm not allowed to preach in that particular place, but I preach. Figure that one out.
And other than one-on-one and work, besides within the nursing home, and say you want to conduct a service, how do you go about gathering the nursing home patients into one room for a service?
As a majority, if you're established by the visitation, will establish you pretty good. They'll make a good relationship with the staff and so forth. They know that you care enough to come by and visit them and so forth, and then you can get services. They usually have them, if you'll get on a schedule, you'll be on the calendar. And some of the folks that you're visiting will be there. They'll, by word of mouth, will get some of them in there. You personally need to go down the hallways and just reassure them that, come by and we're going to have services. We'd like for you to come. Just be just as kind as you can. You might get cussed out. I walked into one facility one time, and a woman began to scream to the top of her lungs. I ain't never had that happen to me but one time. That scared me to death. And the preacher just kind of laughed. And he said, I've heard about you. And he said, I just wondered how, you handle any situation. And I said, well, you see how I did that? I got scared. It varies. But normally, you'd like to have as many folk as you can have from the church. I wish they could have, say if you have 20 patients, boy, it'd be good to have 20 people there, or 10 or 15. In other words, enough to go by if you take books. I don't like to use song books. I try to sing. Usually most churches don't go in there but once a month, and it's not harmful at all.